we will have a time of open sharing, an open testimony tonight of how God has worked in your life and why you are so thankful. And so maybe be thinking about that, some ways that you can share just to brag on God. Proclaim the great deeds of the Lord. Here's what God has done in my life, and I am thankful for that. So maybe you can prepare for that open time of sharing here in a couple of minutes. But let's pray, and then we'll look into the Word together. Oh Lord, we have the Bible open before us, the precious and the living and the true Word of God. Lord, we are thankful for the Bible. We're thankful that you have given us your eternal revelation in our own language, that we can know it and read it and study it and memorize it and rejoice in this great gospel. And so as we come to John chapter 17 tonight, Lord, we are looking at a great topic that is worthy of our contemplation and our consideration and our awe. So, God, ignite our hearts with gratitude this evening, we pray, for the glory of Christ's sake. Amen. I really enjoy watching some videos from the International Space Station. Anybody relate to that? There's a man that I enjoy following online on social media. His name is Jeff Williams. He is a Christian NASA astronaut. He's a U.S. Army colonel, an experimental test pilot who puts many videos online as he's traveling across and around and above the Earth. And oftentimes when I see these videos that he puts online, I mean, they're just amazing videos of the sunrise, you know, over planet Earth, or as he's orbiting around and looking down at these, you know, massive pictures of Finland or United States or another continent. I began thinking to myself, when you are that high up, there's no way you can be affected by the mundane matters that are going on in this world. When you are that high up in space and you're looking at the Milky Way almost as if you could reach out and touch the stars, there's no way that the news headlines and the worldly mundane matters of life would really affect you if you're flying that high. And as I was thinking about what we're going to look at tonight, I kept going back to that as an illustration. Because our text tonight is going to take us high up. It's going to lead us to soar high into the sovereign and into the eternal purposes of God so that our thanksgiving would be tethered there in the sovereign purposes of God, so that we wouldn't be bumped or we wouldn't be shaken. Or we wouldn't be moved by some of the trivial matters of this life. In other words, the deeper that we go in our knowledge of God, the higher we will soar in our worship of God. Or think of it this way, the deeper we go in our study of the gospel, the higher we will go in our gratitude for grace. Well, John chapter 17 and other scriptures that we're going to go to is going to take us high above the mundane matters of life. We're going to soar high above the things of this world, and we are going to look into the deep, the wide, the glorious galaxies of God's saving purposes. And we're going to look at the love of God toward His people tonight. And I want to lead us to John 17. And let's begin in verse 1, but we're going to really zoom in on verse 2 here in a moment. But this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He will be betrayed by Judas in just a matter of minutes or hours this evening, and he will be on a cross the following day. So here's John 17, the words of Jesus. Then Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. All whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Really, tonight what I want to do is I want to bring you one simple main point. You have it in your outline before you. And that main point that I want to bring out tonight is that you and I must be thankful because the Father gave you to the Son. Be thankful. Be grateful. Rejoice because the Father has given you to His very own Son. And our text where we are going to begin is John chapter 17, verse 2. And you have two headings there in your notes. The first is that we ought to be thankful for the Father gave you to the Son. And the second heading we will look at is you ought to be thankful for the Son gave you eternal life. We're going to look at both of those from John 17, verse 2. Let's begin with the first heading that you have there in your outline. Number one, be thankful because the Father gave you to the Son. Verse 2 is remarkable to let our finite minds ponder what God does here. Verse 2, Jesus says, "Even as you have given the Son authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." Now, I want you to travel back in time with me. I want you to rewind human history with me in your own mind. Let's just go back to the time of Christ to begin with 2,000 years ago. And let's go back still further to the Hebrew prophets 500 years before that, 2,500 years ago. Well, let's go back to the time of Moses in your mind. That was 1,400 BC. That's 3,400 years ago. But let's keep going back in time. Let's go back to the time of Abraham. The time of Abraham, which was 4,000 years ago from right now. But let's go back before Abraham to the creation of the world. And if you put the Genesis 1 and 2 account and the genealogies in the early chapters of Genesis together, that's about 2,000 years before Abraham. So the world was created about 6,000 years ago. And before that, there was God. Triune, glorious, happy, joyful, blessed, the eternal God. He was lacking in nothing. He was totally self-sufficient. He was self-existing in all things, and he was perfectly joyful in himself. And sometime in eternity past, before there was time, God set his everlasting love and he set his everlasting affection upon you, and he gave you to his own beloved Son. The Bible uses the language in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 that God did this from all eternity. From all eternity. Now, ponder this for a moment, that God the Father wants to give a redeemed humanity to his Son. And the Father does this out of sheer, uninfluenced love and undeserved grace. So really, in a summary, the Father gives his own beloved Son a bride. God gives his Son a bride. Which is pretty remarkable to think, because in the ancient Near Eastern world, that's what fathers did. They picked brides for their sons. You didn't just go out and find a girl that you liked and choose to marry her in the ancient Jewish world or the ancient Near Eastern world. The Father did that. That's his work. And that's precisely what the Father does for his own Son. So to think of it this way, that every believer is particularly selected. He is undeservedly elect. And he is a marvelous love gift from the Father to the Son, so that you would worship him and that you would express his worth forever and ever and ever. Jesus begins his prayer, his high priestly prayer, And he says, Father, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. All that God gave to the Son, he gives eternal life. If you're a Christian here in this room tonight, hear this. You are given to the Son eternally. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are given to the Son particularly. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are given to the Son effectually, powerfully. That is to say, when God the Father gave you to the Son, he didn't lose you. He loses none. When God the Father gives the people to his Son, you are given to the Son lovingly. You are given to the Son irrevocably. You are even given to the Son undeservedly, as if we did anything to merit this. One author put it this way, no temporal circumstances or personal characteristics could ever influence the Father's loving election of his people, for it was a decree that was made from before time began. Before all eternity, God did it. That's amazing. So tonight, tomorrow, think about gratitude to God. Maybe in this way or with this as a reminder that our thankfulness to God is tied to God's election of us. Our thankfulness to God is grounded in the reality that the Father has given us to the Son. Amazing truth. And I want to show you this elsewhere. Turn back a couple of pages to John 10. And you know the context here, because in John 10, Jesus is preaching about being the good shepherd. He's preaching about being the good shepherd, and he's contrasting this with the false shepherds of the leadership of Israel of that day, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But in John 10, look at verse 28, or in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now look at verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I love that. The Father gave to Christ all of his sheep. And none of those sheep that the Father gives to the Son shall ever be snatched out of the Father's hand. And nor will they ever be snatched out of the Son's hand. Amazing truth. Go back a couple of chapters to John chapter 6. Jesus is preaching here in public with many, many people around him. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, it's the discourse when he says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never hunger. Well, look at verse 37 of John 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. I love that. All that the Father gives to the Son will come to the Son. Every one that God has given to his Son will most certainly come. Notice how there is such certainty in this verse. All that God has given to the Son is most assuredly going to come. And the one who comes, Jesus will never cast out. Look at verse 39, just below that. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. And then so we go back to John 17, our text. Because what Jesus is doing is he's praying and he is worshiping the Father and he is reflecting on the great love of the Father toward the Son and in giving a particular people to the Son. Verse 2, Jesus said, to all whom you've given him, he'll give eternal life. If you look at verse 6, Jesus says it again, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world, for they were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Look at verse 9 of John 17. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 24, Jesus prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given to me. What a great God. What a great God that He, in undeserved love, from all eternity past, picked and selected you to give you to the Son. There's a question. Why would God do this? Why would God do this? I love the way John MacArthur answers this question. Why would God do this? The Father has chosen to give the Son a bride. For what reason? To love the Son forever. To serve the Son forever. To praise the Son forever. To glorify the Son forever. Christ is worthy of a redeemed humanity who will fill eternal heavens with praise and honor given to the Son. And do you need a reason to give thanks? God chose you to be part of that number. Elect from eternity past and given to the Son till eternity future. And He loses none. He loses none. You can be thankful because the Father gave you to the Son. And what hope that gives us. I mean, that's like flying high above planet Earth and the eternal counsels of God with that. So whatever mundane things are going on in this life, as important as they might be, let's not forget that our eternal security is real and protected by our great God. Be thankful for the Father gave you to the Son. And that leads to number two in your outline. Not just we can be thankful for the Father gave us to the Son, but now number two, be thankful for the Son gives you eternal life. You know, Jesus was preaching this in John 6. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that the Father has given me, I lose nothing, but I will raise it up on the last day. So here's the great truth, that God has given some to the Son, and the Son doesn't lose any. None will perish, but the Son will raise them up on the last day. He gives them eternal life. He preserves them till the end. He carries them all the way to glory. This is the life-giving, the soul-preserving, and the comforting Savior that you and I have and that you and I can worship. Let your eye look at John 17, verse 2, one more time. Jesus says, even as you gave Him, that's the Son, authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given Him, He may give eternal life. I have a commentary I pulled off my shelf, written by George Hutcheson. There's a quote in your outline. Follow with me. This is a remarkable couple of sentences. George Hutcheson says, there are certain number of men that are given by the Father unto Christ, that He may redeem, take charge of, and be returning for them. Life eternal is a gift peculiar only to the elect, who are given to Christ, and it is conferred only upon them and upon all of them. For He gives eternal life to as many as you've given Him, and to none else. And our Christ is eminently qualified with power over all flesh to bring this about. You know, Christian, here in this room, I want you to be encouraged that there is absolute confidence in Jesus Christ that He will totally save all of His elect. He will totally save all of His own, whatever difficulties or whatever hurdles or whatever obstacles might be in the way. Jesus will completely and perfectly save all of his own. If you look at verse 6 of John 17, Jesus said, I've manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world, for they were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I love that. Jesus says, I've manifested your name to them. That's what Jesus does. The Father gives a group to the Son, and the Son manifests the Father to them. That's what Jesus does. He shows us the Father. He reveals God to us. Look at John 17, verse 24. Verse 24, Jesus prayed, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus gives life. And then he takes us to heaven, and he takes us to heaven so that we will behold his glory in heaven. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing truth. A mind-boggling reality. You know, Christian D.A. Carson put it this way. He said, there is a peculiar relationship of love, of intimacy, of disclosure, of obedience, of faith, of dependence, of joy, of peace, of end times blessing and fruitfulness that binds us together and that binds us with the Godhead. What an amazing thought that God would give us to the Son and the Son would give us eternal life and carry us all the way to glory. What an amazing blessing to ponder this. And to marvel at this. And to give thanks for this. You know, Christian, for us to give thanks on this Thanksgiving holiday, we belong to the Father. John 17 tells us in verse 9, we belong to the Father. Jesus said in verse 9, they are yours. But yet we also read in the Gospel of John that we belong to the Son. That God gave them to the Son. So John 10 tells us that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. No one can snatch us out of the Son's hand. So quite simply, your life is now hidden with Christ in God, as Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 puts it. There can be no greater security. I don't know if there could be any greater comfort. If there could be any greater assurance that we are given by the Father to the Son, and we are secure forever. This is the astonishing love of God that drove John the Apostle to almost be at a loss for words when he wrote, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God. And we are, 1 John 3. If you were on a deserted island, and you could take two books, one of which would be the Bible, of course, what would the other book be? For me, that book would be a hymnal that I have on my desk that I read most mornings to aid me in my time of prayer. It's my Gatsby hymnal. William Gatsby was a hymn writer, a theologian. He wrote this hymn. Sinners who on Jesus rest must eternally be blessed. All Jehovah's love can give, they from Jesus shall receive. Loved of God, to Jesus given in the purposes of heaven. They are bought with blood divine, and they must in glory shine. Matchless Jesus, may we who wholly be taken up with thee, and in every deep distress lean upon thy truth and grace. What an amazing thought. Loved of God, to Jesus given in the purposes of heaven. We are bought with blood divine, and we must in glory shine. Now, all of this can impact us in a number of ways. So where do we go from here as we transition into a time of open sharing here in a moment? What can this theological concept about the Father giving us to the Son and the Son giving us eternal life, what does that mean? How does that encourage us? Where do we go from here in our own hearts? What does it mean for you and for me when we understand the meaning of the text? I want to give you a couple of thoughts, and Christian, be encouraged by this. Number one, it shows us the certainty of salvation. The absolute certainty of salvation. The salvation of God's elect is unmovably sure. It is certain. It is fixed. It is established. It will happen. Not only is it the certainty of salvation, but second of all, the freeness of salvation. We don't need to accomplish anything to bring about or to merit or to achieve our salvation, nor do we have to add anything to the gift of salvation to keep ourselves saved. You can't save yourself, and you can't keep yourself saved. It's a free salvation, totally of grace. All a gift of God. And third, this leads us to the glory of God. We see the security and the beginning and the continuance and the culmination of all of our salvation that is all entirely bound up in the work and in the doing of God. We boast in God. Now consider, Christian, the inexhaustibleness of God's love. The inexhaustibleness of God's love. It's a love that's unparalleled. It's a love that exceeds all comprehension. It far surpasses what you could imagine in your own mind. This is the love that the Father has toward you in giving you to the Son. And we see, fifth, the accomplishment of Christ. That the Lord Jesus is the full executor, the full accomplisher of this salvation. What a great God. Wilhelmus Abrakel is a theologian that lived, a Scottish theologian, a couple centuries ago. He was pondering this reality in the scriptures that God the Father would give a particular group of people to the Son? And what would move God to do this? Why would God do this and why me? Here's what Wilhelmus Abrakel wrote. Love moved the Father. And love moved the Lord Jesus. It is a pact of love between those whose love proceeds from within themselves, without there being any lovableness in us or in the object of the love. There is nothing lovely in us to merit this. Oh, how blessed is he who is incorporated into, who's brought into this covenant of love between the Godhead, being enveloped and irradiated by this eternal love. We are stirred up to love in return, and we exclaim with the Apostle John, we love him because he first loved us. Maybe there's somebody here in this room tonight where you might say, how do I know if I'm given to the Son? I want to be a part of that number, but how do I know if God selected me from all eternity past and gave me to the Son? How do I know? Here's the answer that Jesus would give. He who believes has eternal life. Believe. Because in your believing and in your coming to Christ and in your full commitment to Christ and in your deep affection for Christ, you will learn that that wasn't your own doing, but it was Jesus who gave you eternal life. And it was the Father who gave you to the Son in all of eternity past. But if you're here tonight and you're wondering whether or not you're elect, that's the wrong question for you to consider. Here's the statement that Jesus would give. Come to me and you will live. I am the bread of heaven. All that the Father has given to the Son will come to me. And he will never, ever cast anyone out. What a reason for us to rejoice. The Father has given us to the Son, and the Son has given us eternal life. Maybe there's a good reason for us to say with David in Psalm 103 and verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Well, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, O Father. Maybe as we barely try to scratch the surface in digging into the eternal, inter-Trinitarian divine counsel, and we try to think about how you selected a group of people and you gave us to your Son. Oh Lord Jesus, we praise you. Oh Father, we worship you. How we thank you for this great gift of sovereign, undeserved love. May we be thankful with a heart that is filled with gratitude and worship and praise and awe. In Jesus' name, amen.